Stupid thing.
I'm just having fun.
Seeing ghosts.
The Forgotten Camp.
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Well, it's the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is in the books. I have a different intro tonight. Welcome to the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, joined by Trey Watkins. Trey, thank you so much for joining me tonight. It has not been the easiest weekend for really anyone in the football community. Myself especially. There have been some things going on that we'll get to here in a second. But Trey, I just want to thank you for being here. I'll get to the sentimental stuff with you at the end, but thanks for being here tonight. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Just coming on here with you just to talk some football. Well, talking football regarding the biggest game of the year. So yeah, no problem.
Yeah, so obviously I just wouldn't feel right starting without mentioning we just got the football community got some pretty tragic news this weekend. Beloved NFL.com columnist, writer, podcaster, Chris Wessling has unfortunately passed away from cancer. It has been a tough 36 hours for me, I'll be honest. I didn't know Chris personally, but I felt very close to him. A big reason I got into podcasting was the podcast he was on, the Around the NFL podcast. I started listening about 5 years ago, around the 2015, after the Broncos won the AFC championship. I just stumbled upon the podcast on Spotify. And I just started listening and became a huge fan. Really interacted a lot with Chris on Twitter. He followed me for a while. We've messaged back and forth. He responded to my tweets a lot. You know, as silly as that sounds, that's how people, you know, I think form relationships these days. He has been on this podcast. If you dig way back in the iTunes libraries or on Podbean, you can find that. I believe the summer of 2018 he was on. It was super gracious. He was so nice. And, you know, it's just a huge bummer and really devastating, to be honest. And I'm, you know, not necessarily even in the mood to do this podcast. I'm kind of glad we got a break coming up because it has been a pretty tough 36 hours. So I just wanted to say, you know, our prayers here are with Lakeisha and his son Link. Our prayers are with noted guests that have been on a lot. I mean, Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal, Dan Hanzus, all those guys were so tightly tied together. And I believe they're doing a podcast tonight still. And I felt, you know, if they do it, you know, I can do it. So really a bummer. I don't have much more to say. I'm kind of at a loss of words. I love Chris. He was a fantastic writer, and he loved football above all else. And he loved his family, and he loved football. And, you know, I hope to bring that same passion to covering the sport. So Thank you for letting me get all sappy and emotional there, Trey. I am very bummed out that you never got a chance to do a podcast with Chris. I think he really would have liked you, and it just would have been a great time. But yeah, raise a glass to Chris Wessling. I got my cheap grocery store beer. Salute, and let's get to the game here. All right, Trey. Drastic shifting of tones. The Super Bowl. Man, that was not competitive even once for a moment. Which is honestly the most shocking result of all of this.
You said the most shocking result of all this?
Yeah, it's the fact it was never close.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I came into this game thinking the Chiefs were going to put up points because the Bucs don't have the speed at corner to compete with the wide receivers. Their linebackers aren't too particularly good in coverage, which meant maybe a little mismatch with Travis Kelce. And I sort of disregarded Todd Bowles in that Bucs defensive line simply because of the fact that the Chiefs have such a dangerous short passing game. That's where a lot of their success comes from offensively. You can talk about all the deep shots down the field, but they love their short passing game. Get the ball in the hands of their rat guys, let them make some plays after the catch, and then see where they go with that. Make second and third down easier. So I thought they could offset some of that with their short passing game and their running game. And their running game was good too coming into this game, but like we saw tonight, the running game, they didn't give the running game an opportunity to flourish until maybe the second half. But yeah, I that was probably the most shocking thing, was just how non-competitive this game was. Kansas City got the first 3 points of the game, I believe. Excuse me if I'm wrong with that. My mind's going a million miles a second, but they got those 3 points and said, okay, 3 points, sure. Kansas City will get back on their groove. We'll start seeing some points. We'll start seeing this offense chug like we usually see it do. It just never got going. And forget it just never got going. It got completely shut down. I have never seen the Chiefs offense get shut down like this. Never in my life. Patrick Mahomes was thrown around like a rag doll tonight. He was taking a beating. And I tweeted this earlier. If you've watched The Longest Yard and you remember the scene where Adam Sandler was getting crushed, his O-line literally didn't block anybody. He was getting crushed, snap after snap. That's what it felt like. Patrick Mahomes had no chance back there. He was literally running for his life every single snap, and he couldn't do a thing about it. The Bucs' defensive line was just too good, too physical, too fast, and that Chiefs' offensive line was just outmatched right from the jump. I didn't think the Chiefs' offensive line would get simply whooped like this. I did not think it at all. I thought Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and the rest of the offensive staff and even the players on the field too would come up with some ways to offset that pressure and the advantages in matchup that the Bucs defensive line would have on that over that Kansas City offensive line that's full of mixed matches and full of mixed match groups simply because of all the injuries and stuff. But gosh, that was bad. I have never seen the Chiefs offense get completely destroyed like that. Give credit to Todd Bowles, give credit to Shaq Barrett, Jason Pierre-Paul, the rest of those guys on that defensive line. They completely destroyed the Chiefs offense, right? And they just whooped them, gave them a jab, gave them a hook, body shots. It was a full-blown beatdown. I've never seen that from the Chiefs offense, never in my life.
Well, that is sort of, and you know, as I often like to tweet, I am an idiot, and I am often wrong. I mean, losing your Hall of Fame left tackle and losing your other tackle and not having either starting tackle, that's probably going to be an issue for most teams. And I was an idiot. I thought, oh, Patrick Mahomes can just backpedal and scramble all day, and for the most part, he did. He did not take that many sacks. He extended plays extremely well. But I mean, I give tremendous credit to the Bucs corners and secondary. They never got beat by Tyreek Hill. I mean, they had a totally different game plan this time around, the second time around. I mean, Devin White, to me, Devin White and Antoine Winfield were the defensive MVPs because they both played absolutely tremendous games from start to finish, were all over the place. Antoine Winfield was awesome in coverage. That's who deserves a lot of credit, because you can say, oh, the Bucs pass rush got to them all you want, and they did, but they were playing against backups. Like, people, most smart people that weren't me saw that coming. But Trey, I don't know about you, I did not think that the Chiefs corners and safeties would be able to play the way they did. That the fact they kept Tyreek Hill to basically nothing absolutely shocked me.
No, that's another big thing to point out as well. And we remember the last time these two teams played, Tyreek Hill had over 220 yards receiving in the first half alone. First quarter, and then the first half alone. 220 yards receiving, and most of that came against when Carlton Daniels was matched up against him. The Buccaneers came out and did this. They played too high all night long. They got a lot of this of Tyreek Hill's ineffectiveness was due to the fact that the Bucs defensive line was really physical and won their matchup the entire game. That was really the perfect game from the Bucs defensive line. But those Chiefs corners were physical with Tyreek. They didn't let him get past him, like you said, and they just stayed in front of him. They played Tyreek Hill as well as you can play him. They doubled him. They did whatever they can. I mean, that's about as simple as it gets. That's what they did. They stayed in front of them. They played too high. They always had a safety over the top so Tyreek Hill couldn't beat them deep. And the Bucs defensive line, which is getting pressure literally every single snap. So, I mean, that's going to really tamper down the effect that Tyreek Hill can have on the football game because, you know, of course, Patrick Mahomes needs all the time in the world to throw the football down the field, especially when you take into account Tyreek Hill's speed and what that can do for your deep passing game. But they just didn't have that. They didn't have a single chance to maybe force the Bucs out of too high with maybe getting their running game going. They couldn't get the Bucs out of single high. They couldn't get the Bucs out of that too high safety look. So it was difficult all night long, and it just made the Chiefs target Tyreek Hill more underneath, and the Bucs were on that as well. It was just a perfect game from the Bucs defense, from rushing Patrick Mahomes and stopping, destroying that O-line and just keeping Tyreek Hill in check. It was just perfect all night long. Give credit to Todd Bowles, like extreme credit.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Like, Todd Bowles has a ton to do with this, but I am just extremely impressed by the players themselves, the Antoine Winfield, the Devin Whites. I mean, you look at that whole defense, really, and it is spectacular. And the crazy part is pretty much everyone's coming back. Like, they just have to re-sign Chris Godwin and Shaq Barrett, and that's about it. And that's pretty crazy. And
hard to get Barrett back.
I think that they might pay him handsomely. I think they'll be able to work something out, to be honest with you. But he was so good. In this game, and a lot of that has to do with how bad Mike Remmers was. But I mean, his performance, I believe, is reminiscent to Von Miller's 2015 Super Bowl performance. Really well done by him. Before we get to the rest of it, anything else within the game you'd like to talk about? Let's talk about the Bucs offense a little bit. I have a problem with Tom Brady winning the MVP. I get it. He's a quarterback. I mean, Gronk had two touchdowns. Like, Gronk looked like prime Gronk tonight. And the fact he got robbed a Super Bowl MVP is an absolute travesty. I love Gronk, and he got it stolen from him. Seven catches, 67 yards, two touchdowns.
The narrative game loves Tom Brady. The narrative game loves Tom Brady. So if the Bucs won, it was always going to go to Tom Brady unless he threw five picks and the Bucs still won the game like that. So.
See, that's the crazy part about what the Bucs did offensively too. They didn't really pass the ball. Like,
they didn't.
Most of this game is just Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones like racking up 4 to 5 yards.
It really showed the weakness that the Chiefs have at linebacker. Now, the Chiefs have been prone to getting gashed in the ground, and that's partly due to the fact that their defensive line depth, aside from maybe – or their interior defensive line depth, aside from Chris Jones, isn't all that impressive, really. I think Nadi is nice as well. But behind those two, there's just not a lot of depth there to where – you can come up there and stop the run. And it goes back to their linebackers as well. Their linebackers aren't that good either. So it just perfectly summed up that the Chiefs, they've made strides defensively under Steve Spagnuolo, but they still can't stop the run. And that's really been the one Achilles heel for them defensively during this so-called run of theirs.
Yeah, I mean – you're absolutely right. Let's just talk about Leonard Fournette really quick. Leonard Fournette was a guy that I universally buried for the last 3 years. What he was able to do, like, the past month and a half is somewhat insane. He looked totally explosive, was awesome in every playoff game he was a part of. And this was a guy that had 211 yards in the regular season. Like, it is crazy how good he was in the playoffs. He was truly a difference maker for them. And he put this game away with his touchdown run. And I mean, Ronald Jones, of course, has been good all year. Put up some really pretty good numbers against teams this season. And, you know, he played a good game as well. I'm just incredibly impressed with the way the Bucs were just able to win in different ways in every one of their games. And, you know, here they are. And, they are now Super Bowl champions. So here's where we get into the weeds a little bit.
All right.
Looking at rosters and such, and guys that now have Super Bowls, as I pull up ESPN's Tampa Bay roster. I like to do this at the end of each Super Bowl and just see, oh, look, this is blank players, like, you know, blank Super Bowl. So let's start with some of, you know, the non-Tom Brady guys who this really helps their case going forward for Hall of Fame and things like that. Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette both get Super Bowl rings. Mike Evans, widely considered one of the top five wide receivers in the NFL for the past his entire career, basically, Super Bowl ring. That is helpful. Antonio Brown, that's his second ring, right? He won one with the Steelers, correct? Was he on that team?
Super Bowl, what was that? Super Bowl 40. I'll have to think. Hold on. Give me 1 second. Let me look that up.
Here, I'll pull up his Pro Football Reference really quick.
Okay.
Antonio Brown.
I thought that was his first ring.
Really? I don't 100% believe that, but I think I'm obviously looking it up, so I could be wrong. Where do I find his?
Because that Steelers ring against Arizona, I think that was like a year or two before Antonio Brown came into the league.
Really? Let's see here. That's what I feel he came into the league in 2010. When was the
2009 maybe? Or was it? No, I think that was 2008, 2009, something like that.
I cannot find on Pro Football Reference his awards, Super Bowl. Super Bowl. He is listed. He was a rookie. So this is technically his second.
Okay.
But he only had one reception and 1 yard in that Super Bowl. He gets a touchdown here. This probably cements Antonio Brown. He'll be a really interesting Hall of Fame debate because of the off-the-field stuff. But
he's going to be like a third or fourth ballot guy.
But 100%. It is that ups his case. Same with Chris Godwin, who's still insanely young, just 24 years old. Let's see here. No one else really in tight ends. I mean, Gronk, like, people had Travis Kelce coming at him as, like, the best quarter tight end of all time. I think that debate's settled for, like, at least until Kelce wins one or two more rings. The fact, because Gronk, how many is that for him now? It's, oh, no. And by the way, that is AB's first Super Bowl. You're right, because they lost to Green Bay.
Okay.
So I apologize. You were absolutely right on that. I totally was wrong. Gronk, he has played in four Super Bowls. He has five, technically. He has won three of five, so obviously, a really great run for Gronk. He's one of those guys. Anybody else here? No, the offensive line. This is a good start for Tristan Wirfs, rookie.
Yeah.
Wins the Super Bowl. Looking at the defense. Here's the guy.
Levante David.
Yeah, here's the guy that that I noticed on the roster when I was looking at the rosters earlier this week. Ndamukong Suh, who has sneaky, like, become, after Detroit was like, okay, I'm just going to be a mercenary for hire and go play for teams better looking to go to the Super Bowl. He played in, I do believe, the Rams-Patriots Super Bowl, though he lost.
That's true.
And, you know, he ended up now playing in this Super Bowl and getting a win, more getting a Super Bowl ring. So
you should do a call. Yeah.
So
that's a good one about Ndamukong Suh.
So yeah, I mean, Ndamukong Suh, a really fascinating career, probably a Hall of Famer at this point. Vita Vea gets his first. He's played really well.
Love him.
Shaq Barrett, he got one with the Broncos. So this is two for him. And he did play a little bit in that 2015 Super Bowl. So so that was good. So Levante David, you're right, 31 years old, gets his ring. JPP. The fascinating thing about JPP, he was 8-0 in the playoffs. JPP
I heard that.
JPP
heard
has that. Never lost a playoff game, And Imbo's Giants runs, he sneaky had monster playoffs. He is a no doubt first ballot Hall of Famer, in my opinion. And this one settles it because he was a dominant force on that defensive line. He made several memorable plays throughout this playoff run, including in the Super Bowl with the batted pass.
Yeah.
So he, to me, is just a no doubt 100% Hall of Famer at this point. Everyone in the secondary is a little bit too young. They have an incredibly young secondary. That's just only gonna get better, I think. So
I think with JPP, I think he's one of those cases where he's had some really good seasons, but I think he's gonna be one of those cases where he's gonna be like a second or third ballot. I'd say a third ballot at worst.
Really? Maybe. He has had decorated career.
And even then, has he really had that decorated career? I'm just asking.
Let's pull up his stats really quick. His career stats and take a look.
That's probably one where somebody might not think he's a Hall of Famer, but if he makes it and you look at his stats and if they're eye opening, you're like, oh, I guess he is. Something like that.
Let's see. Career record, 418 tackles, 89 sacks, 20 forced fumbles.
89. Huh. How many seasons has he played?
They're pretty decent numbers. He has played in, let's see, he has played since 2010. So he's played 10 years. So that's an average of about 10 sacks a year, almost like closer to like 8.7 sacks a year. That's still pretty impressive, but maybe I think that's right though, that what you're saying, he might be a second or third rounder. Cause I think you got to kind of average 10 plus sacks per year for a while. In your career.
Even then, you got to be like an overwhelming, dominating presence.
Yeah.
On the defensive. I mean, JPP has the numbers, but has he really been like that overwhelming?
No, you're right. Presence? He's only had a 10 plus sack season 1, 2, 3 times. So it's always been, he's always kind of been like a role player. But I do think that we both agree he's a Hall of Famer at some point.
Yeah.
Especially because he's really performed in the postseason super well. And like I said, not a ton of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster is really up to leave the door. We'll take a look at SpotTrack really quick and double check that. And then move to the Chiefs. I want to check theirs as well. And so let's go here. Free agents, contracts. Let's see here. I want to see.
They should have a lot of the guys that are locked up, at least for next season.
I do believe they do, I want to say. Let's see here. Free agent year. 2021. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But, they could bring most of their guys back. And, I mean, Tom Brady gets up there on the podium. Perhaps my favorite moment of the night is Tom Brady gets the Lombardi for literally, like, maybe 3 seconds. And hands it off to his daughter like he doesn't even care about it, which is like,
bro, I literally was saying the same thing.
Which he is got like
the freaking George Halas trophy was holding like a freak, like a baby holds a rattle, bro.
Like he was like, I've got like seven of these, like
Super Bowl rings. No big deal.
Like I don't really care anymore. It's just a trophy. Here,
your daughter. Fun, bro.
Just take this and go play with it, bro.
Yeah, go play with it. Go freaking use it like a wand or something, bro.
I love that. They do have some notable free agents up for I want his free agent year up for re-signing Gronk, but Gronk has said he's coming back, and my guess is he'll take a super cheap contract to play with Brady. Yep. Lavonte David, you're going to have to pay him. Shaq Barrett, you're going to have to pay him a lot. Ndamukong Suh might come back for cheap just because he might have a chance to win another ring if he does. And then Chris Godwin is the one guy they might lose. I think you're right on that one. So that's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Kansas City Chiefs, I believe they have basically everyone locked up.
They should.
They did most of their signings last offseason. The biggest guys they have are Daniel Sorensen, and
they got to upgrade with him.
Breshad Breeland. Now, they got him on the cheap. They're going to have to give him a much bigger deal. He played awesome this year. Darrell Williams, they'll probably let him walk. They've got CEH right now. Byron Pringle. I mean, I just like Byron Pringle because of his name. And he
Actually, going back to Damian Williams, I think Ian Rappaport or somehow, and one of the three big insiders of NFL Network said that him, Damian Williams, and their starting guard who opted out of the season, you know, combat, you know, COVID. I think he said both those guys are expected to be back with the Chiefs next year.
Oh, all right, sounds good. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, I believe.
Yes, it's a hard name to remember.
Sammy Watkins is the one interesting guy. That, like, he only pays off like three times a year, but if you can get him on like another $9-10 million deal, then you should absolutely keep him around because he provides a nice little
too much for him, though.
Weapon. Well, that's about what he's making right now.
I get the most I give him is like seven. Not to me, though.
I mean, we should talk about Tom Brady. Seven trophies. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is really, really, really good. And at some point in his career, I will call him the greatest of all time. But that's not today. And for a lot of people, he's going to have to do a ton to ever become the greatest of all time.
I might say he might have to win eight rings.
More even, I would say, because this is going to be the tiebreaker and people are going to remember this. And despite it not really being his fault, despite him having some of the craziest, three of the craziest best incompletions in NFL history, that his receivers just straight up dropped after he made absolutely incredible, incredible throws. The horizontal throw to the ground, the one where he's spinning and he drops it in the corner of the end zone. Like, it is he played an unreal game. And everybody looks at it and says, oh, his toe. His mobility was off the charts tonight. And he played an awesome game. And he was certainly not the reason they lost. And you know, he's gonna be back next year. The Chiefs are I'll just say it. I'm gonna take the Chiefs out of the AFC like right now and never really change that pick no matter what. Because that just seems like the smart thing to do. Because I mean, if there are these Broncos people tweeting the dumbest crap, they're like, oh, look, the Chiefs aren't unstoppable. Okay, yeah, dude.
They had three replacement guys on the offensive line.
The Chiefs aren't unstoppable if their entire offensive line is hurt. So, gotta hope that happens like every single game. Gotta make sure the offensive line is hurt every single game. Gotta make sure you have basically three Hall of Famers on your defensive line and emerging stars at your defensive tackle position and a all-pro outside linebacker. You got to make sure that you have two of the best middle linebackers in the game of football, if not the best tandem in the game of football, in Levante David and Devin White. You have to make sure you have an all-star safety. You have to make sure on the other side you have a quarterback that can actually compete with him, which in this case might have to be the greatest quarterback of all time, plus three Hall of Fame weapons, basically. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, four, Gronk. I mean, Cameron Brait, okay. Come on now.
Running backs that are hitting their stride.
The Broncos aren't even close. They have great wide receivers and a decent offensive line. They don't have a quarterback, and the Chiefs' offensive line isn't going to be hurt every time. And no one in the NFL is that close. You cannot tell me that if the Chiefs were fully healthy, they lose this game.
They win this game if they were fully healthy.
Do not believe that. No, but that sounds like I'm taking credit away from the Bucks, and I refuse
to. No, that isn't. That isn't. See, the Bucks. You can still push it. You're not.
The Bucks were awesome. The Bucks were so talented. Top to bottom, the Bucks did, point at the Saints. But behind the Saints, the Bucks ended up with the best roster in the NFC. And if they retain everyone, they're going to have the best roster in the NFC next year, especially because the Saints are going to be so hamstrung. And, it's crazy. But, Trey, is it crazy for me to say that, I'll probably change my mind. But I would not be shocked. We're going to take time off after this podcast, obviously. You and me are probably not going to talk to each other until March. It would not be crazy if, at the end of the free agent period, you and me were just talking. I think I'd pick the same Super Bowl, to be completely honest with you. Sure, the Rams. The Packers, the Cowboys, a lot of good teams in the NFC. But
don't talk to me about the Cowboys, bro.
The Bucs defense is awesome. We're gonna get really heated about the Cowboys this offseason. I can feel
it. Don't talk to me about the Cowboys, Eric.
Because I believe in them 100%, to the max. I think they are a contender next year.
Oh my gosh, Eric,
dude! Come on, we can't do this tonight. We can't do this tonight because I respect the Bucks and the Chiefs too much. But just know we're gonna have a drag down knockout fight about the Cowboys at some point this offseason.
Oh man,
I 100% believe in the roster. dude, it's just. It's crazy. It's so hard to get back to this game. And Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady have done it. Patrick Mahomes two times in 3 years, set Tom Brady 10 times in his entire career.
It's hard to get back into this game simply because of how uncompetitive it was, and simply because the narratives are already there. We don't have anything else to talk about with these two teams, really.
They're just so great, both of them. Tom Brady's so great. What else are you gonna say?
Exactly.
Gronk with an all-time quote here. I'm just scrolling Twitter. Quote: I retired from being retired, which was pretty cool.
Freaking, how about that guy, dude? He literally retires from New England, does whatever he wants, goes to WWE, freaking makes money, looks like his usual Gronk self, returns, and is being used as a freaking blocking tight end. Now he has two tight ends, two touchdowns in the Super Bowl.
I love that guy.
Is great for Gronk.
We share a birthday. My birthday is Gronk's birthday.
Aren't you lucky?
I love Gronk. Gronk is of non-quarterback players, I would say Gronk is probably my favorite player. I love Rob Gronkowski so much, and I am so pissed he did not win Super Bowl MVP. It's total bullshit that they only give those awards to quarterbacks. Total crap.
I mean, well, quarterbacks run everything these days, so. Yeah.
And I'm not bleeping that out. I'm keeping that in. all right, man. I'm going to go to bed. So, for one, I just want to say Trey's been awesome this entire year. He has gone above and beyond. I really wanted to have a more solid co-host this season, and he has just gone above and beyond what I ever could have hoped for. He is dedicated and awesome and super knowledgeable and works harder than anyone I know, and has just been so great to get to know you better, Trey, and to get to become better friends this season. And, yeah. You know, I'm looking forward to next season. I'm looking forward to the off season. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for putting in so much time to this podcast that you get absolutely zero compensation for. So thank you so much.
Look, man, when I was first a guest on this show, I literally DM'd you like right after. Because I was so freaking nervous. I didn't even care about the freaking views. That I was on a podcast, dude. I was like, dude, this is crazy. Whatever. And, you know, I just say present day time co-hosting. I'm more comfortable with this. And you've helped me a lot with that. So I really appreciate you with that. But the whole idea of this podcast is being a laid-back football podcast where we just come on here, whether it be for 30 minutes or 2 hours, discuss the topics that we have. And none of the topics are freaking complicated to the point where it takes a rocket scientist to figure it out. They're simple. Even a four-year-old could talk about it. They might not use the same words, and you might shout over them all the time, but hey, a four-year-old could.
Yes, we have a football IQ of four-year-olds. Really great self, right?
I just think
I gotta cut that out. That's gonna be a drop. I'm going to try to get sound drops incorporated as podcast next year. I'm definitely isolating that audio. Like, that is fantastic.
What I'm saying is the fact that this podcast is really fun. It's really a fun listen for anybody. And the guests that we brought on this year have been really fun as well. So it's been a really fun year. The recaps, the quarterback ranking shows, all the different stuff that we've done this year. It's been really, really fun. I hope we can do this again next season. Hopefully, yeah. You never know what can happen. If we can, we're 100% gonna do that. I know Eric's gonna say the same thing. But it's been fun this year. The Super Bowl sort of dampened any sort of juicy content for our last recap show of the season. But it's been a fun year.
I was thinking about that. I don't think there's been a good Super Bowl in, like, let's see here. Let's think back a little bit.
Patriots freaking Falcons? No, Patriots Eagles, man. That was a good Super Bowl.
Yeah, since Patriots Eagles, there hasn't really been a good Super Bowl.
You're right.
Was that 3 years ago?
Yes, I think it was 2017.
Okay.
Or 2018.
Sure. Chiefs, Niners had some highlights, but it wasn't ever that really entertaining, I didn't think.
It wasn't.
You know, this one was a blowout, so.
Yeah.
Let's hope we get a better Super Bowl next year.
I pray to God we do.
I have fun. I'm a football addict. I like literally anything. So, man, oh, man, I just can't believe it. Tom Brady's 7 rings. It's crazy. All right, Trey. Yeah. This is so long for a bit. I think both of us need a break. You've got some schoolwork stuff to deal with. I've got Utah State basketball and schoolwork to deal with, and Utah women's basketball. And I've been filling in for the daytime talk shows while half my work is out with coronavirus, and it's been crazy. And, you know, just back at it really quick, like losing Chris Wessling was really tough this weekend, and I'm pretty bummed out still. And I just need some time to chillax and have an off season. So that said, Trey, let's you and I take a look at the calendar here. What day does when does March Madness start? That's my main question. March Madness date.
All year.
The 18th. So that's the day after free agency starts. So I believe Utah State will be in March Madness. So
really
gonna be a little bit crazy with scheduling. But
okay.
Let's you and me tentatively say that we meet back up on a Sunday, the 7th of March. So that gives us 1, 2, 3, 4 full weeks off. 7th of March, even maybe if Deshaun Watson gets traded before then, we do an emergency type show, but I kind of doubt it. I really need some time off here. So March 7th, I'll see you then. And yeah, I think that'll do it for us, buddy.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, to the 30 people that do listen. I really appreciate you. This is a ton of fun for me. I do it because I like hanging out with people I meet on Twitter and because I like football. And it's always a ton of fun. And now, you know, it's the off season. So we're going to enjoy that. We're going to come back. We're going to do free agency. We'll do a little draft stuff. Get hopefully a huge panel in here of like 5 people and talk for 3 hours about NFL quarterbacks and where they rank in the middle of nowhere July. And, you know, it's just going to be an off season. We'll hope to get to episode 400. And again, thanks for listening. And say prayers for Chris Wessling, Lakeisha Jackson, and Lincoln. I will not bleep this. Fuck cancer. So
fuck cancer.
Yeah. Fuck that terrible disease. So with that said, Chris would want me to end on a positive note. Enjoy football. Enjoy this last little moment. Look ahead to next year. And, you know, how do you reconcile with the meaninglessness of sports? And, you know, how do you weave them into your daily life? That's a question he asked one time. And I think it's something I'm going to ponder over these next few months. So I love, because I love them. I love sports so much. So thank you so much for listening. We will see you in March. Thanks again, Trey.
No problem. No problem at all, man.
Alrighty. Peace out.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.